دونوں ہوئے برابر، یہی موت کا اثر ہے۔ دنیا کے مسافر، منزل تیری قبر۔
مارکس صحابہ، The Voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ۔
السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ۔ Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Coffee Express, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sawtu Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 7th of Jumad al-Ula, 1446, corresponding with the Gregorian date, the 9th of November. 9th of September is like stuck in our heads. The 9th of November, 2024. Alhamdulillah, we just finished our segment on Palestine, discussing the characteristics of the Yahud, and we now get on with our next segment called Straight Talk with our brother Ahmad Parak, who is a local counselor and also involved in the burial affairs. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brother Ahmad Parak.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, Allah bless us with another fine day, Mulana.
You have any new developments regarding the kafan and dafan?
Mulana, this week I think we will skip dafan kafan because I'm compiling a few things for next segment, inshallah, because I'll have a much more input for next week, about 5 minutes next week, inshallah. So I'll be able to tell our listeners next week what we have in mind and what we are doing at the moment, inshallah.
So getting on with our local politics, you know, there was some article about some person making a statement about an Indian must go back to Bombay. And this all revolved around that decision over that, 1860 settlers project. Can you just inform us what led to this person making such a statement? Because it could either be that one of the people of the Indian community were being insistent about something, or someone from the community that made that statement was just, being racist.
Jimona, first and foremost, it came on the agenda, and immediately when I saw that on the agenda, 1860, our A.V. Muhammad from the Great Sheikh Masjid, he's also the Treasurer General with the 1860 settlers. And I picked up the call and I told him, maybe this matter has come before us for debate on the council on Wednesday. What is the issue here? Then he just gave me just underline a few things. Originally, the provincial government gave them 10 million to erect a monument. Had cane cutters in South Africa when the first Indian settlers came in, the 1860 settlers. And apparently the site was chosen at the beachfront at the Shaka Marine area. Now, when he told me 10 million, but I see in the agenda was 4 million. So I said, where's the 6 million? He says, I can't understand, because originally that was our arrangement and all. Nevertheless, it came before us on Wednesday at the council, and there was an issue about the monument they wanted to put up, and there was a disagreement between the 18 settlers' executive. So that was the actual delay. That's what he told me. And so then he said, okay, fine. What is the, why is it coming? We said, you know what, it has come before us because now they got 4 million of that money. If we're not going to do anything, that money is going to get returned back to the provincial government. So we debated this thing, and we asked the council, full council, where the delays were, and then they identified the delays, why it was, and all the disagreement between the executive and everything else. So somebody from the, and we, I was in the council, and my whole, my team was in the council as well, and we heard very, very clearly that that issue that came, that the Indians must go back to Bombay, was from the ANC bench. So we immediately brought it up to the speaker's attention and said, you know what, there's a racial remark here, we're not happy. And then the IFP and the other parties also objected to that. But the speaker is weak. The speaker didn't, you know, he's supposed to reprimand. He should have stood his ground and said, no, hold on. We want to know. We know it came from this side. We're all saying it came from the ANC benches. So why is it he just ruled? He says there shouldn't be racial remarks in the council and all that. We don't want to know all that. You made a statement. You must stand by the statement, and we will then charge that person. He should be debarred from the council. That's what, and we have wrote up a very stringent letter, which is already gone to the speaker, and we want a full investigation on this year before the next meeting. So we are going to look at it in a very serious light, because we cannot afford, you know, they must understand, the ANC government must also understand, without the Indians, we were also part and parcel of the struggle, and we assisted them to liberate this country. So, you know, that is very important. So they have also made a statement that they will not tolerate any racial remark and all. But it's too late. We want the person who said that. That's what the whole argument here stands at, Maulana.
It's unfortunate. So many years after democracy, there's still this sort of racist mentality. And, you know, coming from someone from the ANC is more surprising. You know, if it came from some member of some party that is known to have racial tendencies, that would have been expected. But, you know, it's sad that this statement was made by someone from the ANC. Now, carry on.
We're taking this very, very seriously, inshallah. I mean, by the next meeting, I will be sending you some literature as well. What the speaker and the mayor have to, what they have done. We need a response on this matter here. We're not going to leave it sleeping.
Okay. Now, the next thing that is very serious is that our municipality is, you know, procuring loans while they have money in the bank. There's 9 billion. As I read in one statement, we have 9 billion in the bank we are not using. Why should we borrow at higher interest rate? The interest alone on this loan is R1 million a day that we are wasting. That doesn't even include the 1 billion that we are going to borrow next year. Now, did those who decide to take the loan give an explanation why they are taking the loan while they have 9 billion in the bank that they are not using?
Maulana, first and foremost, it is about 8.5 billion that is in investment. It is not in the bank. It is with the banker and is secured for investment. It is already in the investment. And we've been very, very vocal in this, that we mustn't touch our investment because the city will be depleted with no investment at all. That's one. Secondly, why should we be borrowing money, you're right, when we got an investment, the investment is secured, so you won't be able to touch that money. Therefore, they want money to do special projects and all because we don't have that enough money. The simple criteria is where I sit in MPAC, 32.5 billion is our debtors' book. Why are we not collecting that money? Yes, we put in the debt review program. We put in a lot of programs. In that debt review program, if you look at it too, Morana, you'll see there, the deceased state alone, the people are gone. They're no more in our land. They are finished. They are gone. The state has not been even winded up. It is only occurring rate. And people are not worried because end of the day, they're seeing 400,000, 800,000, 1.2 million. And the land is only valued at about 400 or 500,000. So there's no equity there or anything. So even if we repossess, we cannot do anything. So we are saying, okay, fine, write off if it's under R1 million and if it's a residential property or a deceased state, the person is no longer, write it off. So if you take the 32.5 billion, we will be able to say write off maybe 5 million, worst case scenario. 5 billion we write off, we'll still have about 27, 26 billion left. That 26 billion should be collected. Why are we taking over? And furthermore, they're not telling us. There's an overdraft of about 600 million that we have already taken. Now we're paying interest on that, and interest rate is about 12-13% at the moment, overdraft interest. We're taking. Now we cannot afford taking loans. The national government is paying R1 billion a month only in interest, international funding they have taken, they are paying. Now we want to be paying R1 million a day in interest. It's not on. We won't have that money. We are saying, recoup the money that is in our books, even if you discount that money, like what we are doing through via the debt review, get that money in. We're in a much better position. Because the problem is we're giving too much of freebies to all the areas for free water, free life, free electricity. That's where our monies are tied up. We are funding, in other words, everyone else. So I'm saying at Treasury, collect that money. This is not on. Because if you look at what we want to borrow it and what we want to for the infrastructure, yes, we need the money for the infrastructure. But how to do the repayment, and you're not getting enough money, how eventually the city will be bankrupt? Then what's going to happen? So that's why we are saying we need to put a stop to it, and we very strongly with all the other parties, we don't want this loan they're going to take, and furthermore, we must collect our money. That's what we are saying, Malak.
I say the statement that ANC has made, you know, it's sad that they just say we have the right to borrow money and we have followed all the rules. The National Treasury has given us permission to do this. The ANC has followed the process and there is no need to borrow this money. Now, this definitely gives one the impression that the ANC believes that merely having the right to borrow is sufficient to sanction the loan, even though there is really no pressing need for it.
Molana, then where is the GNU they got? They got a GNU all over the country. So the GNU is not working because now if the ANC is calling the shot and they have got the rights, yes, they have got the rights in terms of national Treasury, and if you do a proper motivation for what reason, you know, they have masters in doing motivation. They will spend like 200,000-300,000 to give it to a consultant to do a motivation for national government and all that. When it goes before national government and they will stipulate it A, B, C, D, E, F, and from that list, I'm just telling you, there will only three things will be done, the others not going to be done, and that's where we come short in everything we come. And furthermore, we have also borrowed, we're owing the financial institution $10 billion also. How are we going to repay all that? So that is, they're not taking the implication what's going to happen with what we have. If you got 32.5, we're going to write off so much, and we're going to write off some of other monies in rates, light, water, and all. Say it will be depleted to 20 billion. 20 against another 10 billion we got here, so it'll be another 10 months. We're not going to have enough money. Eventually, come 2025, we will be running out of money. We'll have to go and borrow again. And that's not on. We're supposed to be self-sufficient. This city was the third richest city in the world. If you went to in Gauteng, a Carlton Center was owned by us. We had so much of properties. Where all our properties, where our assets is gone now to? They're selling up left, right, and center, and we got nothing left anymore.
Now, coming to the issue of water curtailment, there's some serious, allegations that are made. I don't know whether it's allegations, it's a fact probably. Imtiaz Sayed of the Active Citizens Coalition questioned whether it was a good idea to burden ratepayers with the cost of water being supplied freely to indigent people. He says, we must note the burden on ratepayers to subsidize the water the city gives away for free at 46% of total consumption monthly. Active Citizens Coalition calls for the burden to be clearly measured and the cost passed on to provincial government to assume their responsibility of subsidizing the indigent part of the national policy.
See, in this case, Yamalana, firstly, that 8.4 cartel, we are talking about reducing the water because we have, in everything, Tugela Board gives you a license or a permit. We have now over exceeded by 1,287 megaliters, which means we have went overboard. Now, when you go overboard, now we have got like an oversupply of 118 megaliters a day. Now, that is causing the problem. That's number one. So what they are doing is they are going to reduce it. I agree. There's a lot of, as I said, freebies. People are getting left, right, and left, right, and center. They're getting free water. If you go to some of the houses there in the South Coast and all that, I'm seeing this thing here. No, they got meters, they got no reading, nothing. Water is getting supplied. They're living like kings. There, some of the houses you see there is better than mine and your house there. He is living like a king there, nothing to pay. He's getting free. Now, we are asking, why are they getting free? Yes, indigenous people need free water. There is, but that has to be controlled by national government as well and the province. We give so much and must be subsidized. So we cannot be giving, and then the ratepayers are paying. And secondly, we said 54.5% of the water has been lost. Molana, that is life, and we spoke about it, I think, last week or last before week, and I had a meeting with one of the top engineers of the city, and he outlined it. He said, Mr. Farooq, they are lying to you. Councillor, they are lying to you. In actual fact, I'll show you in black and white, there's the numbers I'm giving you. Only 20% are we losing with the loss of water and all, lost in mainly with the leaks and all the issues that we have. Only 20%. And there's a list here, there's a full list of how much water we are losing. The balance of the water is we're not getting the revenue for it. And that's why we are saying now they put the buck onto water and sanitation to say we are losing that water. You see how they're doing the cover-up in this case here. So 34%, of that water, they're saying that is total 54% we're losing water. We're not losing 54. The 34% was supposed to be paid. That is not paid. Now they put it into the water and sanitation to say that we are losing the water. So they are lying to us. And this is where we take them very strongly. And we want the CIIU to investigate all these things here and bring it to the city and tell them, you know what, you're not giving the community the right answers here, because end of the day, they are stealing from us to subsidize everybody else. Now, that is our biggest problem we face with all.
The next issue is the potholes. You know, this person, Sisilana, said the city deals with an average of 2,103 road defects monthly. This is only potholes and road repair patches. You know, any idea what causes such a high number of road defects?
First and foremost, we must understand you're getting rains, you know, especially Durban and the Durban region. We get much better rain than any other province in the country, number one. Number two is whenever there is a crack on the road, water seeps. If from a small hole, it becomes like a big pothole. That's number two. Number three is when the deputy city mayor was Mabundla, when he got elected in 2021. The very first thing he did was to put another car manufacturing plant, because he knows we're having massive problem with roads and all that. So from the two plants, one is dysfunctional at the moment, so therefore we cannot fix all the potholes. Now, you know, I know a lot of people suing the city for punches and all that, the rims, and some of these cars, they're low profile and all that, you know, the rims and all that, and then you'll find you don't get one punch at the foot. You get both. If it's on the left-hand side, and if you hit a pothole, you're getting on both the tires are gone. So that is a problem. It happened to me about a few years ago, just by Shifa Hospital, and it was raining one evening, and I never see it. You know, when water falls into a pothole, you don't see it. And I went through it, both my tires, so I had to get a tow truck to take my car away and all that. So the long and the short, these things at the moment is a massive problem. But yesterday, apparently, I heard through the grapevine that they have already engaged with two other car manufacturing suppliers, where they will be able to assist us just to catch up at the moment. But I see, I was going to Westworld for a meeting yesterday morning, and they have already started filling up some of these potholes coming down from right down to Reservoir Hills and all that. They'll be coming through Overport and all that. So there will be, from next week, hopefully, if this agreement has been signed up, they will be starting to getting more tar. And there's obviously, you know, because of the refinery, there's lack of bitumen at the moment as well. So there is a huge shortage of bitumen at the moment. That's where the other problem is. But at the moment, they're on top of it. They know about it, and they are moving towards it. But Molana, on the whole, you know, we can't say negative about the city, or, you know, they're doing, you know, lots of wrongs they're doing. We must accept that. But if you go through the city, and the things are starting to take shape, they are starting to clean up the beachfront, the CBD is been getting cleaned up. There's a lot still to be done, but it is taking shape at the moment. But I think what we need at the city from the DGs and all that, they must be starting to have a cleanup and accountability, and they need to get up from the offices and go on site, do site visits and all that, and see where the problems are. And then they must get these things sorted out quick as possible. And that's when we want to make the community happy. If the community is happy, everybody's happy. You know, they say, you look after the community will look after you. That's this old saying. And I'm a firm believer of that. I know in a lot of places I've been, and I've assured the community, we want to do 1, 2, and 3. And when you go back, they would open arms. They welcome you. They salute you. They got respect for you because you are you what you say, that's what you are doing. So that's where we are at the moment.
Okay, our last question for this morning is about unused buildings. Now this, as you were saying, there is progress, and here also we find alhamdulillah some progress is being made about the unused buildings. Firstly, if you can just highlight us, how come 149 properties are available for disposal and already 91 have either been released or are currently out for a request for proposals?
What they did, Morana, in this case here, we identified all the buildings in the city, and you know what is happening also? These guys are now taking over the buildings, and then when you come with the security and all that, you pull them out. A day later, 2 days later, they are back there. So now the city is helping as well with the province. We have put a task team, and that's where we are cleaning up at the moment. So there's a lot of, from all these buildings that were identified, now the people are coming forward. They say, okay, fine, we want to assist. And at the same token, we will get our rates from them as well once we get them, because at the moment they can't pay, they can't do anything because it is abandoned and it's got nothing there. So that's where we are, and we're pulling them up. And we got some of these people now, they told the city, if you can assist us, we are prepared to go and pay the security company, the red ants, or the black ants, they call them. They come with shotguns and all that. And then after that, a week later, too, they got a full-time security there. They can't enter. And then the owner fenced it up, and he starts getting things done. And he can at least let those buildings up, and it'll clean the city at the same token.
These buildings must have been, built for some purpose. They must have been serving some purpose for the municipality. How did they become useless?
See, Mulana, even if you go to, near Albert Street there, there's one building there, there's so many buildings. Now, what happens? City don't use it, and they just leave it, instead of putting another department there. Yet, we are paying, 320, we're paying rent there. There's 75 Winter Street, right down near the beachfront. Massive building. Up till today, the whole office block, we had to move all those people to other places. We are hiring embassy building. We got few buildings in the Esplanade. We're hiring. Why should we be paying rental when we got our own building? That is, the mentality sometimes I can't understand with these people. Really, because we got our own, instead of spending money there, fixing it and putting one department there. Fix the other building, get it sorted out, put another department in. Your problem is solved because you're owning the building. You got nothing to worry because you rate exempted, you got everything, only you're paying light and water. So I can't understand. And now, when you talk to them, it goes from the 1 year to the other year. So that is an issue that we are taking them on all the time to say, you got a building, let's fix it, put a department there. We got a lease at embassy. When the lease expires, they must go into our building, finish. That's what we're supposed to be doing, Mulana.
Hey, Jazakumullah khair al jaza for your valuable time this morning and the valuable information that you have imparted. May Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you in both the worlds for this. And we will talk, inshallah, next week again.
Inshallah. Ameen.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.